Good evening and welcome to Midnight Convos Podcast with your girl Tiffany Nicole and my co-host King Chuck.
Chip. What up, though?
How you feeling today?
I'm worldwide, baby. Worldwide.
Worldwide with the pinky in the air.
You know it.
This is convo number 19, convo 19. So if you miss any of our previous convos, make sure you go to SoundCloud and listen or iTunes. And while you're on iTunes, make sure you leave a 5-star review.
Last week, we put out a Twitter poll in which we wanted to know the feedback from the people, which CD from 1996 was the greatest.
Oh, yeah. The best albums.
Absolutely, from 96. And I was only able to put 4 up there on Twitter. So I'm
Wait. 4 what?
4 albums.
Oh, 4 albums. How many people we have respond to that question?
We have 15 as of
today.
Okay.
All right, we got some contestants. Okay. Let me take a sip of my drink. I'm tired of shaking this man.
Take a drink, because when you find out the results, you're going to have a hard-ass swallow.
Oh, shit. King Tuck gonna swallow, baby. Let's play that shit up right now, ladies and gentlemen. All right, go ahead with the list, man.
All right, so what's the best hip-hop album of 1996? Now, mind you, I named 10, but I can only list 4 on Twitter. So, we have Reasonable Doubt by Jigga Man. It Was Written by Nas. We have The Score by The Fugees, my personal favorite. And All Eyes on Me by Tupac. Out of those 4 albums, who you think will be the top getter?
All right. Once again, my picks would be Nas, It Was Written, and not in no particular order, but Nas, It Was Written, Jay-Z, Reasonable Doubt. Number 3, I gotta go with Lauryn Hill, Miss Education.
Wait, that's not even 96, motherfucker.
Oh, it wasn't?
No.
It wasn't?
Chuck. You sure? You're fucking up.
I am? Oh, well, maybe I am. Well, check this out.
Wait up. Let's backtrack.
All right, give me Nas. It Was Written. Give me Hove. Reasonable Doubt. Give me, I don't know.
You put Muddy Waters.
Oh, yeah. Muddy Waters, Redman.
Okay. But from the list, Reasonable Doubt, It Was Written, The Score, and All Eyes on Me.
Those definitely The Score.
Okay. As your top?
Fugees.
96?
Is that 4? Yeah, that's 4. That's
who
4,
would
yeah.
be, but who, out of those 4, who would be your top from 96? Those 4.
Nas.
It Was Written?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hole. Okay. Reasonable Doubt. Score. 3.
And All Eyes.
And Muddy Waters. 4.
Okay.
Redman.
He still fucked that up. We're sticking with the 4, not adding motherfuckers. But anyway, so here is the Twitter poll. Out of these 4 albums, Reasonable Doubt, It Was Written, The Score, All Eyes on Me in 1996. The top vote was Reasonable Doubt. It got 50% of the vote.
Mm.
40% of the vote was All Eyes on Me.
Mm. Double CD.
10% of the vote was The Score.
Wow.
And Mr. Nas, Nasir Jones, was a big fat.
It Was Written.
0.
All these motherfuckers, though. I don't know what y'all talking about. You understand what I'm saying? I know what I'm talking about. And I'm telling you, Nas, It Was Written is the, not one, but the greatest hip-hop album of all times. Are you fucking serious? Oh, I'm so disappointed.
Well, not according
Everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
The Twitter people.
But anyway.
Yeah, I was surprised that it didn't get a vote.
Not one goddamn vote.
Not one.
Are you fucking serious? How is All Eyes on Me better than It Was Written? Who the fuck is you talking to? Unfucking believable. But you know why I need a drink on this?
Sip a little bit. But yeah, that's what the Twitter people, the Twitter folks.
You was
saying.
Right. I'm gonna need my shit.
I told you. Take shit. A hard swallow.
Stop saying swallow to me.
It's okay. Enjoy.
Goddamn swallow.
It goes down. I'm a sip. Smooth.
God damn it.
All right. So just showing some love to the Twitter people. I appreciate you participating and let us know what you think about 96.
We do though. I appreciate y'all. I love y'all.
Reasonable Doubt, Jay-Z. And even though I'm a Jigga fan for life, I don't even think that's the top album from 96. But Twitter folks, that's what you put. So,
but at the end of the day, it's no wrong answer.
Absolutely.
You understand?
You can't go wrong. Whoever it's no you wrong pick answer. It's who you pick.
Yeah.
So, how you feeling this week? How's your week going?
Shit, man, listen. All I do, look, I just wake up to get high. I'm not concerned with nothing else. I just want to get high. Leave me be. Bills paid. Wife good. Let me get high. Everything else that comes out, I can deal with it. I wake up every day thinking that something's going to go wrong. As long as I'm high, I can deal with that shit. Let me rock.
Okay. Said from King Chuck. Make sure you follow him on Twitter. The
yes,
King
Chuck. Yes. You follow me, I'll follow you back.
The real King Chuck.
That's it. Simple.
D-A-R-E-A-L-C.
I got a couple followers. I'm not going to mention the number yet because it's still pretty low. And, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself, but, you know, I don't give a fuck. But, all right, yeah. Look, listen, you follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me up. Holla.
There you go. I want to talk about a couple of things. There's a lot of different topics I want to talk about.
Get right into it.
And I really kind of want to start off with Obama, our 44th president. And I want to kind of start off a little serious because sometimes we don't know what we have until it's gone. And now that we have someone new in office who I don't feel is qualified to be the president, you know, it really puts a spotlight on what we have. And I just kind of wanted to highlight some of Barack's highlights for the 8 years that he served us as president.
Give it to us.
So one thing that topped my list was that he created the ACA Affordable Care Act, which is the Obamacare, aka people so fucking ignorant don't even know that your insurance, the ACA, is the same thing as Obamacare. And whether or not it's the best insurance plan, he made it so that everybody will be insured.
Pre-existing, right. We all got it. Yeah.
We can all go to the doctors, you know, and not pay an arm and leg. So that was big. I like the fact that he ended the 2008 recession.
He saved America.
He did a lot. He bailed out the car industry, which at that time was sluggish.
Was sucked. Don't be nice. No, sluggish. No, they suck. It sucked. He saved them. Now they number one. How about that? How you go from zero to the hero?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Keep going.
He pretty much ended the recession. The banks. The big bank bailouts. He took out bin Laden, which, you know, you got someone that wants to eliminate all Americans just because. And he went out like a motherfucking G and had the sniper take him out. So that was big. Even though ISIS is still around, he took out bin Laden.
ISIS is not his fault, but we'll get into that later.
We can get in. We can definitely tackle that. All right. And he's one of the presidents that, even though they always say, well, what did Obama do? What did he do? You know, he couldn't get this passed. Well, you know, you got
to
work.
They tried to block him. Everything he did, they tried to block him. What was his slogan? Yes, we can. We can make change. And every time he tried, they blocked him.
Absolutely.
Or we going to shut down the government. What the fuck does that mean? Wait, what?
The thing about it is that what they can't take away, that what he did was definitely a highlight, was that he created a lot of jobs. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have the facts right in front of me, but I think it was after the recession that he helped to end. It was close to 24 million people he put back in the workforce.
I'll give you a number. It's not the last year, but the year before the last year Bush was in office, we was losing close to 700 jobs every month. How the fuck? You can't even fathom that kind of number. 700 jobs a month. What the fuck? You understand? Now that's, I can't even say, like, to say it's a lot, that's like an understatement. But when Obama, when he lowered, you know, the unemployment rate to where as though this is the lowest it has been in, you know, 25, 30 years, fuck if that's saying something. It, you know, that's an accomplishment, like, far beyond whatever the fuck you expected of him in the first place. So, yeah, he's one of the greatest presidents of all times. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
And I can keep going. I want you to finish with your, you know, input on his achievements, because I can keep going.
We definitely can keep going. And one of the other things I want to talk about is that he won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2009. But we can go on and on about what he did and what he accomplished or what he tried to push through legislation. But 8 years, he was scandal-free. 8 years, you didn't hear about him getting fellatio in the White House. Mm-hmm. 8 years, you didn't hear anything in regards to his children.
Mind you, all the presidents did that before him.
Absolutely. All of them. 8 years of drama-free. And that says a lot. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, a lot of people voted for Obama because he's black. President is black, yeah. My Lambo's blue. And I be goddamn in my ribs. So, whether or not they agreed with his policies, his beliefs, his stance, and whether you, at this point in time, don't believe in his position, you got to say that he did his best. He served his position.
He's one of the greatest presidents of all time. You can't deny that. Get the fuck out of here. He didn't do enough for me. Shut the fuck up. No one person on this fucking planet is going to please everyone. We all know that. But guess what? Out of all of the 40, what we've got, 45 now? 45 fucking presidents, okay? Plus the vice presidents, okay? None of them, not one, has done every single thing they said they was going to do 100%. So shut the fuck up. Now, this one man, Barack, has done everything he could do, right? And most of the things that he said he was going to do, due to the fact that he was dealing with unfucking-presidented amounts of racism and just everything you can fucking possibly think. Look, oh, you want to give the people health insurance, we're going to block you. Oh, you want help? Yes, we can. We can change. We can make a difference. We're going to shut down the government. What the fuck? You know, one of my favorite things that he changed, and I remember at one point he was against it. For whatever reason, I don't care. But just like you and I, whenever you sit back and you realize, you know what, I made a mistake, let me correct that, you know, I respect you even more. Now, anybody that can admit that they're wrong, you that dude. You just like I. Yeah? You're a human fucking being. Okay? And this motherfucker, he was against it at first, but then he said, you know what? No, I don't like it. You know what? Let me change that. I can do something right now. I'm going to change that. And guess what? He made gay marriage possible. So, that right there, I think, for me, that's the most important issue that he tackled. At the end of the day, we're all human beings, and it doesn't matter what color you are, you know, rich or poor, society, economically, can't nobody tell, as an adult, can't nobody tell you who you can and cannot love. So that right there, if that doesn't tell you that he has made change, mwah, my ass, the fuck out of here. And, I'm a vet. Keep in mind, I'm a fucking vet. He brought home the troops from two wars at the same time. Mwah! My ass. Fuck out of here. One of the greatest presidents of all time. Go ahead, Barack.
And the list goes on and on and on. And I just want to take another second just to talk about Michelle. And
classy.
I don't know a first lady that stands a candle to her. And a lot of people in the media, they always talk about Jackie O. And, you know,
ain't none of them had a fatty like her.
Oh my God, Becky, look at her butt. It is so big.
Ooh. Yeah, with you. Michelle, I've seen so many news clips and articles in reference to Michelle in which they talked about her, the way she dressed, the way she looked. And it always equated her to something less than human. Oh, she looks like an ape. Oh, she acts like a monkey. And this is an educated woman, a Harvard graduate, a Princeton graduate, and people talk to her about her as if she's a porn star. Or, this is Michelle Obama, someone that wore her title so gracefully. So, and now you think what we have right now, a former lingerie model that barely speaks English. And like Convo 7 or 8, I talked about how they were coming at her. There was two people in high positions that talked about her being a monkey. They said that she had no class, no snouts, no grace. They went on and on and on about this woman. And we can't forget that this woman is from the South Side. So I know she has it in her to get a little hood and just let them know she stand. But what she say?
Yeah. When they go low, we go high.
There you go. And that's all that matters.
Classy.
For 8 years. Now, I know she probably let Obama, Barack have it, closed door, pillow talk, let these motherfuckers air them out. But in the public's eye, she's always kept it 100% classy. So she gets nothing but the utmost respect from me.
Same here. And keep in mind, she got a wagon. Oh, we ain't never had a first lady with a wagon. Never.
You'll give it to Michelle.
What?
You'll get that work?
She give my best. And she get all his work.
She'll get his best 5 minutes. Best.
well, 7.5. You know, that's the former first lady. You know, shit. And in exchange, I want that resolute desk.
This D-girl is that. Crazy.
But no, one of the things I appreciate about her is, you know, usually, the first lady, they have roles like, you know, women's rights or this, that, and third. She tried to tackle child obesity.
Yes.
And, well, I think she did.
She did. Absolutely.
She did a pretty good job.
Let's dance. Get up and move.
Yeah.
Dance.
Yeah. You know, an hour a day, if, you know, if nothing else, you know. And the way she dressed, too, you know, was very appropriate. For, like, she had something for all occasions. You know, she just... Some people got it, some people don't. You know, she's one of those that has it. One of the things I appreciate, another thing that I appreciate is the fact that how it seemed like when everybody was coming at her throat, and you know, you touched on it a little bit, but you ain't really like getting details with it. Like when, you know, it was like four white ladies that was like, oh, she looked like a monkey and this, that, and that. You know, she ain't even responded to that. Like, and then... But they put up the pictures of these bitches. And we was like, oh, y'all look like, what the fuck? Wait a minute. Hold up. Y'all look like monkeys. Like, wait a minute. What is this? Oh, what are we talking about here? Oh, so sometimes, you know what? You know, you fuck turning the other cheek. You know, because if you turn the other cheek, you know, the other one is still fat. I'm telling you, she had a wagon. But I'm just saying, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't say shit. You know, you take the high road on it. You know, when they go low, we go high.
Check out Convo 8. Convo 8 when I talk about that. All right. Self-plug. Convo 8. But yeah, with all this being said, well done, Michelle. Well done, Barack. And I'm happy for them that they get to go and be citizens. They just get to be regular civilians. They go back to their everyday life. And maybe in time, people will realize what we had. That's all I really have to say.
I think they're seeing it right now, to be honest with you. I really do. It's so much shit going on right now, and Trump ain't even been in the motherfucking house for 10 days, and already people are suffering. Already. What the fuck?
2 days.
They suffer. Continue with the pipeline shit. Like, what the fuck? Get rid of the APP.
Oh.
The APT, whatever the fuck you call it, land pack trade.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. I think I told you in Convo number 17 or 16, which one was it? I told you the first thing he's going to do is get rid of Obamacare. I told you. It's gone. It's over. Yo, can you believe it? The government is really actually trying to tell women, you all, what you can and cannot do with your pussy. What the fuck? Ah, it's over. I told you. I'm done. So, yeah, we already see it. We already missing.
All right. If you miss any of our previous convos, make sure you check us out on SoundCloud. Make sure you go to iTunes and check this out. And let us know. Comment in SoundCloud. Let us know. Do you have any parting words for Michelle and Barack? Do you think they did well for us in the 8 years? Let us know. Some people, they it's either you fuck with Barack or you don't. But I think a lot of people respect him on whatever side you are on. You realize that he did well and he did the best that he could with what he was dealing with. He was fighting so much. But let us know. Check us out on SoundCloud or iTunes. Just sticking with the whole presidency, Barack, our new cheetah. I refuse to call him our president, but Trump.
Call him the, what is it, the Lotus. The liar of the United States.
There you go.
Right? Yeah.
Whatever you want to roll with. But I wanted to talk about this because this was big this whole past week. You know, his inauguration was Friday.
It was whack.
And I didn't watch that shit. But really what got me going and made me want to talk about it was that they were trying to get people to perform at his inauguration. And a lot of people were asked and a lot of people just initially turned it down for whatever reason. Maybe they don't agree with his political views or whatever views he has. And some people that actually said yes, they actually turned it down because they were receiving death threats. Like Jennifer Holliday, she actually agreed to be a part of the inauguration. She was going to perform and then she received multiple death threats and she just pretty much backed out. Like, fuck this. This ain't worth my life.
Wow.
But one person that did perform was Chrisette Michele. Mm-hmm. And she kind of got dragged for performing. So they were saying that she was able to get a fee for performing and that she was paid close to $750,000 to perform for the inauguration. I don't know how true that is. She did do an article and she confirmed that she received the fee, but she didn't say for how much. But my question
to you. Because
there
ain't nobody's business, but go ahead.
Yeah, my financial situation is not your business.
Yeah.
My question to you is, do you think as a black artist or a minority artist or even a female artist, knowing your president, his views that he has not only shared but lived upon
the whole situation, everything, you know, how he feels about black people, how he feels about women, immigrants in this country, everything.
Absolutely. Would you be okay with someone performing? If you was an artist, would you perform at his inauguration? Or do you feel a kind of way that she performed in his for his inauguration?
All right, I'm going to answer this question in two parts. Part number one, I am an artist. I'm a poet. I'm a damn good one. I'm probably the best one in Jersey you never even heard of. How about that? So as an artist, for people to tell me I'm wrong for performing for whomever, whether you agree with their views or not, you can kiss my ass. This is what I do. This is my craft. This is my life. This is who I am. You know? Your point of views on politics and religion and all that other shit that I told you before we need to get rid of has nothing to do with the fact that I need to be compensated for my performance. Fuck you, pay me. Now, as, you know, just a regular smojo, you know, an individual, you need to understand that how come it's always a motherfucker who ain't got no job telling you what you need to do and what not to do with your job. I am a performer. It doesn't matter your political views or my political view. I am a performer. They're paying me a nice, healthy $750,000. I guarantee you, all of the motherfuckers that's telling her she shouldn't have did that, whether it's her family or friends or colleagues, associates, whomever, ain't none of them making $750,000 in one fucking day. Kiss, I'm sorry, mwah, my ass. The fuck out of here. Okay? That's how I feel about it on both ways. Huh? And you can quote me on that. Get the fuck out of here. Now, I have met her. This was 2006, 2007. We used to like I said, I'm an artist. So we used to go to this studio in the city called Brown Sugar Studio. My man Blue, what up though? And Walt was good. And both of them are doing pretty good. But anyway, I actually got a chance to meet Chrisette Michelle, and I had a crush on her until I met her in person.
Because she's thick.
Yeah, she ain't got no ass. None. Okay? I saw her in person. Now, this before she got... If she got her, I don't know if she really did. But I'm telling you, when I saw her then, right, when she was just a...
budding artist?
No. Fuck a budding artist. She was just a...
Background singer?
Yeah. Background singer or sample or the hook, you know. She ain't had... She looked... She pretty as hell. She smelled really good, you know. But she had no ass. I know. I liked her. I'm sorry. I liked her. She ain't got no ass. But anyway, so I met her. And, you know, I don't know what the fuck. You know, whatever. You know. And now to see her at this point, like, she was nominated for a Grammy. She didn't win. But, you know, all her best work when she was singing hooks. What the fuck ever. So, but the point I'm trying to make is for her to receive a check for $750,000. That's more money than she made, you know, with her albums and all of that shit. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm pretty sure she got a family to take care of. She got a husband or a boyfriend or a fiance or whatever to take care of. She got some shit to do. So don't be looking at her like, why should she perform for Trump? And he don't like women. He don't like black people. Yeah, we get that. But money is money. All of this shit is monetary. You got to get paid. Sit down, shut the fuck up, get your money first, and then you can say what the fuck you got to say. Right, leave her be.
Just to play devil's advocate, I definitely believe that, you know, a check is a check, and Chrisette Michelle ain't got no hits right now. She's not on the radio. None. So, first of all, I think the fee amount was inflated. I definitely think they added some zeros to that, but...
Because that's a nice,
that's a nice, healthy check. But, let's say this. A check is a check, and you gotta get paid. You gotta get paid for your... performance, your artist, your craft. I get that. But if you know someone is against everything you stand for, how can you in good conscience take that check? If you know that soon as you leave that stage or even before you touch that stage, he's calling you a nigga or he's telling you you ain't shit because you got a pussy, how can you in good faith and good conscience take that money? Now, sometimes a check is a check, and sometimes that check is not worth it. Like, I'd rather get my money somewhere else. It's not like she's broke. It's not like she's struggling. She's not making Beyonce money, but I just saw her, I would say, 2 months ago, she's doing the Love Jones tour. They're touring her, Raheem Devon, MC Light, Marsha Ambrose. They're doing their little tour for the Love Jones play. She's on TV, the reality show, R&B Diva, something like that. So she's not broke. I mean, she ain't worrying about bills like we are worrying about bills, but $750 goes a long way.
$750.
But if you know someone does not believe in anything that you stand for, the fiber of who you are, the fiber of your being, he can care two shits about. And you got like three. You're black, you're a female, you know. I don't know. Sometimes you might want to get your money another way. I don't know.
I feel you. I don't know. You know what? On some real shit, you know how I feel about religion and Jesus. And ask me what I would do or say if Jesus was like, yo, on some real shit, I got a check for you right now for $2 million. All you got to do is say you love me. I would be like, yo, I received this check in Jesus Christ's name. All praises due to my Lord and Savior. What? Nigga. So look, man, $750. Last time I checked, there's nobody making that or more that's telling her not to do it. So that's what I'm going to say.
Well, Questlove from The Roots, he actually put it out there that he did not want her to do it, and he was trying to plead with her. Don't do it. Whatever fee that they give you, I will pay for it. I will cover it. He said,
now that's what I'm talking about.
But she came out, and she basically saying that the reason why she decided to do it was a way that she can embrace him and bridge his beliefs and our beliefs.
So bridge the gap?
Bridge the gap. And she was hoping to have a one-on-one meeting with him, which never occurred. And at the end of the day, don't get it twisted. You are the help. Like, you are the performance. You are the work. You know, you are not nothing more than a singing person that's on a stage that's hollering. Nothing more.
That right there is the reason why a lot of people believe that, you know, actors, singers, dancers, whatever, any entertainer, period, should just stick to the entertaining part. Because, first of all, we can't take you seriously. You're an entertainer. In other words, part of the help. You're the funny part of the help. And we get it fucked up. A lot of them have a voice. Well, we all have a voice, but a lot of them know they shit. And whoever said that was fucked up, they was wrong. Because, look, at the end of the day, you know what? You got to understand. Just because you believe in this or that, you know, doesn't mean that I have to believe in this or that. And I'm telling you, you know what? We don't agree. Whether or not that's my best friend or somebody I know or whatever, we don't agree. But at least I'm in a position to where as though I can use my platform to bring us together, or at least make an attempt to bring us together. The perfect solution, right? If none of this shit works, other than my theory is to burn this shit down, is to at least at first try to make this shit work. Try a different approach. Now she's trying the positive approach. Let's bring it together. Let's sit down. Let's talk. Let's have a meeting. Let's discuss some things. You know, here's what you can do to help. Here's what I can do to help. Okay, now if that don't work, now, okay, burn this motherfucker down. So you can't knock her for trying, you know?
No, absolutely. I would agree. But, you know, the black world, the black space, black Twitter, they ain't trying to hear that. And to make matters worse, Spike Lee jumped on it. And basically he was saying, because I don't know if originally he's doing a Netflix series. I don't know if it's a movie, a series, or whatever the case. But he has some type of deal with Netflix. And I think he was going to use her music in the series, the movie. And at this point, he was pretty much saying, if you do this, I can't fuck with you. I can't do business with you.
Spike
is not putting her music in this Netflix situation. So, you know, I mean, if what she's doing is because she truly wants to make change and maybe that's her way to bridge the gap, then I could respect that. But if you're just doing this because I want the money, I could respect that too. Whatever your choice in doing it is your right to do so. Can't nobody tell you not to do it. No one can push their beliefs on you. But I see both sides of the coin. He don't like black people. He don't like women unless he's grabbing pussy. And he don't like Mexicans. He don't like gays. He don't like nobody.
He don't like Muslims. Keep going. He don't like Russians, even though he making side deals with them.
He like Putin.
What the fuck? I'm really shocked that, you know, Spike Lee would say that. Every movie he makes, they against him. I remember the shit that he went through for making The Son of Sam. And I think that was one of his greatest movies. Mm. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, so, I mean,
that's crazy. I don't know what to say. Look, Chrisette, Michelle, Jennifer Hudson, y'all keep doing what y'all do. Keep y'all heads up. Look, you're performers.
So make sure you connect with me on Facebook, Tiffany Nicole. Follow me on Twitter, our Queen Tiffany. Follow the pod at _MidnightCombos. And follow King Chuck at
The Real King Chuck.
All right. On Twitter. And make sure if you miss any of our previous convos, you check us out on SoundCloud or iTunes. We appreciate all the love.
Sure do. They out there. Holla.
Absolutely. I want to talk about Jigga Man. Jigga who?
Jigga what? Jigga who? He a billionaire by now, right?
He close to it if he ain't there.
Well, he been close to it since like 2005.
Well, you know what? If you put his money in wifey's money.
Okay, well, yeah, they shit is stupid crazy.
They there. But I wanted to talk about him because it's a couple of dynamics that I wanted to kind of focus on tonight. Right now, he got Tidal. Tidal's popping, and it's a streaming service, and it's supposed to rival Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, any streaming service that you have. And the funny thing is that when he bought this in 2015, people really didn't want to give it a chance. Like, I know that there was different tiers that you could buy in. It was like $19.99, $9.99, and it was a little more than what Apple charges. So people were like, fuck that, I'm going with Apple. So whether or not, it's all the same. It's just a different name. But people wasn't used to Tidal, and they're used to Apple, so they stuck with Apple. So he bought the streaming service in 2015 for like $56 million, right?
He invested $56 million?
He bought it. He bought
like
the streaming service.
He owns it.
It's
got
his.
The title.
He bought it from a Switzerland million. Company
now,
in 2015.
Wait. This was when?
2015.
Okay.
So they've been doing a lot of different things.
Hold on.
Go.
Because when you do shit like this, investments and shit like that, sometimes shit takes a year. Sometimes shit takes 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you right now, he invested what?
No, he didn't invest.
He bought the streaming company for $56 million. So he owns it. $56 million.
Okay. So just let me hit you off with the story.
I guarantee you, he done made at least $500 million in what? In 2 years.
Close. So the streaming the streaming company has been, they've been saying that it's been underperforming because you think about it. It's been existing for 2 years and a lot of different artists are behind it. Usher, Nicki Minaj, Beyonce, Madonna, they're supporting. They actually have stakes in the company.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, they're trying to compete with these big companies that have been doing this for so long. And it's been a back and forth effort. But they do a lot of different things. They do a lot of exclusive things, concerts, just for the people that are subscribers to Tidal. They do spot concerts. You know, they do tickets. They give you merchandise. Pop up at your house, Beyonce, different crazy creative things out of the side of the box. So yesterday it was announced that he sold 33% stake of his company to Sprint.
How much is that?
That's how much the check was.
Oh, you want me to guess?
Take a guess.
I'm going to stick to my number, $500
million. $300
million. Ooh. Wait, hold up. That's only a third, you say?
That's 33% of the company. He got $300 million.
Damn. Yeah, he got $1 billion by now.
And the crazy thing about it is, like, this motherfucker had this company for 2 years. 2 years. And while everybody's hating and saying, oh, I'm sticking with my Apple Music or not even giving a chance. And I think it's I always go back to black and white. Because if somebody was producing a new streaming service and it didn't have Jay-Z's name, you know, oh, I'll give it a try. But because it has Jay-Z's name or someone of color's name, it's always like some hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a little bit of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to me. So in 2 years, he sold a stake of his company to Sprint for $300 million. Ka-ching. And I just think about what he said. I'm not a businessman.
I'm a businessman. Let me handle my business. Damn.
You know, who does it better
than him? I love that line.
Who does it better than him? Like, fuck the fact that he's a great artist. He's going to go down as one of the best MCs ever. Hands down, whether you agree it's Biggie Nas or Jigga, he's in that discussion as the best ever to ever do it. But not only do you have to respect him as an artist, you have to respect him and give him his just due as a business person, as a business mind, right? When him and Rockefeller, when him and Damon split from Rockefeller and they cut all business ties, people thought that he couldn't coexist. People thought that he couldn't make his way in this music industry without Damon, right? Everybody assumed that Dame was the
everybody
the
left and went with Dame.
Mm-hmm.
It's only two people that went with Hov.
Kanye? No, I think Kanye.
And Kanye and of course Bleak.
Bleak. Okay, that's really
and funny. He put that in the song.
But even
Kanye, you got me?
even bigger than music, people always thought that he was the brains behind Rockefeller and Jay-Z was just a puppet. He was just the artist.
Actually, he was. Bleak will be one hit away his whole career.
As long as I'm alive, he's a millionaire.
And even if I die, he's in my will somewhere. So he can just kick back and chill somewhere. Oh, yeah. He don't even have to write rhymes. The dynasty like money lasts two lifetimes. Nigga. Mm. That's a smart boy.
That's a smart boy. I just don't think he gets his credit.
Now look. Who's the billionaire? He didn't own Rockefeller. He was the brand. It was his name. He just did what the fuck he's supposed to do. And now he does exactly what he once said. Yo, I want to own this. I want to own that. And, you know, a couple motherfuckers laughed at him, you know, whatever the case may be. And yes, Dame Dash, the head of Rockefeller, they had the biggest label, self-owned, black-owned label, all of that shit. But Hov was sitting in the back like, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm going to get this money, I'm going to stack, I'm going to get this money, I'm going to stack. I'm going to brag, but I'm stacking. I'm going to go on vacation real quick. I'll be right back. And then Dame made, oh boy, Cameron president. Or whatever the fuck you want to call it.
Vice president.
Yeah, vice president. Right? Of operations and shit. And Hov was like, oh shit, all right, you know what? I'm out. And then boom, what happened? That label don't exist no more. This label don't exist no more. And Hov, the biggest motherfucking name in hip hop. Wow.
Yeah. And beyond hip hop, he's now doing him, management. He's
with
doing everything.
Beyonce, like, on some real shit, none. And I said it, none. Of the Kardashians have any fucking talent whatsoever. Point blank, period. But they number of money, like, it's just stupid crazy. But who fucking with them? Like, well, who got more than them? Hov and Beyonce. It's over.
Yeah, but you know what? And I'm not even thinking just monetary. I just think the influence that he has. Like, just think where he has come from.
Rock Nation.
The athletes. He's doing the management. He's not even just managing athletes, but he's doing music stars too. And, you know, people don't realize, like, he comes from very humble beginnings. He comes from Marcy Projects. A lot of people don't make it. And he's not only making it, but he's going to go down as one of the greatest, period. Just period. All across the board, because a lot of people can't cross over. They can't be, you can be an artist, but people try to box you in, and you can't cross over to other avenues. And they just want you to have one stream of income. And he's completely played his hand and just done the imaginable. I saw this interview with Ice Cube on Mike and Mike maybe 2 weeks ago. And basically, one of the questions that they asked Ice Cube was, if 15 years ago, 20 years ago, when if you can say what your future would look like right now, would you have thought of where you are now? Would you have thought that you would be Ice Cube in movies, Ice Cubes, and from where he came from, MWA? And he said, you know, if I would have thought and made a vision of where I would be today, I would have cut myself so short, because I'm from Compton. I'm black. I did hip-hop music that was very controversial, and look at where he is now. So it's like, people from certain areas, they're not expected to do well. And look at Ice Cube, he gained all that money.
Expectations, yeah.
Yeah, and not only their expectations, but the expectation that society places on them.
What's the saying? Your reputation precedes yourself? Like, yo, that's great. Well, how yourself precedes your reputation? Wow.
Absolutely. So, I just wanted to give a shout-out to the Brooklyn boy, because he did it his way. And you got to respect that.
It's Hovi, baby.
Can't knock the hustle. Brooklyn's finest.
Pause.
Can we get an encore? Love it. Couple things I want to talk about. I kind of want to move along. You want to go serious, or you want to go? How you want to go?
Oh, shit. You know what? Surprise me.
Surprise
me. You know I love surprises.
Okay. I want to talk about Ricky Smiley.
Oh.
There's a clip floating around that I'm going to play. And in this clip, first of all, I didn't know Ricky Smalley had a TV show on TV One. And I guess it's a reality show with his family, his son. And he has a 15-year-old son by the name of Malik. And in this clip, it basically shows that Malik is on a double date with his cousin. And basically, he wasn't feeling the date.
Why wasn't he feeling the date?
Because he didn't like her face.
Wait, she was ugly? She was fat? What's the matter?
She was black. She was a brown girl.
Oh, oh, oh.
She was a brown girl. And
you said Ricky Smiley's son?
Absolutely.
Wait, he's black. He's blacker than the blackest black man. Like, what the fuck is going on?
He's black. Ricky Smiley's girlfriend, wife, Malik's mom is black. His sister's black. But for whatever reason, he does not like black girls.
Oh, that's
and
that
he made
Hollywood
it known
money.
That he did not like black
okay.
girls.
What is it? You don't like black girls? Like, what's up?
I mean, I do like black girls, but
not you,
honey. Not just white girls. Foreign, you know. Mexicans, Latinos.
And they are not foreign. Those are regular basic. Those are basic. Okay, Brazilian. There you go.
You already know the business, bro. You know, black females are not attractive to me. You know, I look at them as my sissy, you know, like my, you know, wrap them up, give them a hug. But if it's a different race, you know, it's like, all right, I'm attracted to you in that type of way.
But nah, for real.
All right.
So, the media, wow. Black Twitter is going off on this little boy. And it came
wait,
out.
Wait. How old is he?
He's 15.
Okay.
It came out, supposedly, allegedly, Ricky Smiley said that the scene in the show was scripted. And that the little boy, well, he's not little, but Malik was forced or told, instructed to say that line that he did not like. He was unattracted to black girls. So, what's your thought? You know.
What's my thought or what's the people's thought?
No, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts is, first of all right, hold up. All right, let's be nice at first. Hear me, at first. You know, he 15, let's let him live. Let's let the little nigga live. You know, white girl. He got the right idea. I get with this white girl. I'm going to move up. Socially, economically, and all the other economically there is, you know, to get this money. No, black man in Hollywood. I got to find my way. That's just how it is. I'm sorry. I don't necessarily agree with it, but that's how the fuck it is. You black man, you make it, you get with a white woman, you gonna move up. Here's the problem with that, though. You don't bring your sisters with you. So that's why you get the black backlash and all that. I didn't mean to say black. The backlash with all of that. Now, one another note with that. Listen. If that's his thing, that's his thing. But you gotta understand, man. Sometimes when you introduce to something and you ain't never had a taste of the other thing, like, you know, you can't really knock a person. Like, he never had a taste of the brown sugar, right? It's always been the pure Domino's.
No, he
sugar.
Said that he
confection
he,
sugar.
He definitely dated black girls. He just wasn't into them.
He ain't never smashed nothing. Because if he smashed a sister, they put it on him. You know, they come on. Like, it's the sisters. I can't sit up here and just believe that he never really smashed the sister. I don't know.
Well, this is my take on it. Anybody can have a preference. What you prefer, what you like is your business.
Nothing wrong with that.
But this is the problem that I do have. You have a TV show on TV One. I don't think not nan white girl watches TV One. I don't even think they know what channel that is. So you are on fucking TV One saying that you don't like black women when it is a station geared towards color
for
folks.
For us, by us. Right.
So how do you have the nerve to say what you don't like when you're catering to an audience that is for black people?
Maybe he forgot. No.
No, you don't forget. And, you know, like I said, whatever you like. And he's 15. So, you know, you can't go so hard on
yeah,
him.
Yeah, he's young. But so what?
Come on. To say that you only want He said Mexican, Brazilian, something exotic. It's like society
everything
has,
of their system.
Absolute. Society has brainwashed you on what is beautiful, what is beauty.
Or maybe his daddy brainwashed
him. Well, obviously his daddy feels a kind of way or knows that it's wrong because he went to Twitter and he responded to it. He said he was really pissed off. He said his son will be sending an immediate apology. So Ricky Smiley, I don't know if it was just damage control or, you know, he really felt a kind of way. But my thing is, before these TV shows come onto our screen, they have an editing period.
They got a coach, say this, say that. Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like, how do we get this far? How does it get this far? How do we get a green light to get to our TV if this was scripted or, you know, if you didn't agree with what he said or you didn't care at that time, but now that the backlash is coming or the black lash is coming, you know, there's a problem.
How are we supposed to pay, take this person seriously after all that's been said and done? I don't know, sir. I mean, I could try to feel for him and understand him, but at the end of the day, I do know, look, as a black man, you get with that white girl, oh my God, you know, the sky is the limit. You stay close to home or true to your roots, the limit is the sky. I don't know why that is, but it is what it is. I don't know. And that's fucked up. I'm sorry. But I don't make the rules.
This is leads to a great segue that I wanted to talk about because if it ain't white, it ain't right in some people's eyes. And I wanted to kind of talk about this picture that I saw on social media.
Let me see
and
the picture.
It was...
Let me see the picture. Oh, shit. If it ain't white, it ain't right.
My fucking phone is dead.
But if she can't use your comb, don't bring her home.
Listen, I'm not coming to your house right now. But this is the crazy shit. The picture I showed you earlier, and which, what was her name? The Zoliac bitch, the white lady that pretended to be black.
Oh yeah. Wait, did she own BET or some shit?
No, she was like the president of NAACP.
Oh yeah. Her. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
I can't think of her name. And there's a picture of her with the little African hairstyle. You know, her makeup on her face to make her like she got a nice little black tan. And it's like, this is beautiful in people's eyes, right? But when you have an actual black woman with natural hair, looking like Mother Nature.
Oh,
looking
no.
Like Africa,
That's a monkey.
That's not beautiful. Why don't she put a hot comb? Why don't she get a perm? But when this white chick takes our style and runs with it, it's accepted. It's considered beautiful. Just like back in the day, and this is nothing new, but back in the day when Bo Derek, white bitch.
With braids,
came out the little water with the braids in the hand. That was like the biggest
thing.
Oh,
it was epic. Oh, it was beautiful.
Meanwhile, we've been braiding our hairs for
since the beginning of man.
Yes.
Oh, and you nappy-headed black wenches.
We nappy-headed hoes.
Yeah.
But Bo Derek can bring her little white ass out of the water.
Fuck
and it's all good.
Here.
And trust me, I am not a racist. I love people, period. But it's just a funny observation, that easily can be seen if you have eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we go even deeper. Think about Justin Timberlake.
Oh.
Right? He does nothing different than Usher, Chris Brown, and people before him, Bobby Brown, Michael Jackson. But when he does it, it's the flavor of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It is the best thing smoking. He is so talented.
Yeah. Until Janet Jackson pulled the titty out of Super Bowl.
Oh, I know.
Now it's a wardrobe malfunction. Oh, I gotta go. I gotta separate. Myself from this.
Absolutely.
Oh, fuck out of here.
Think about Iggy, right?
This bitch.
Rapping. Okay, and at one point in time, she was hot. Everybody was giving her props.
Until we asked her to freestyle.
Oh, God.
Bitch, bye.
But that's most of these MCs, so-called MCs of today's time. They can't freestyle. That's like the worst thing to do. Niggas, freestyle. Drop a beat. What? My mama's sick. I gotta go. They ain't gonna sit in that booth to do no freestyle.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love how these people claim to have talent and be pure with their shit, and then you put them on the spot and they just can't come up. They can't do it. I love it.
It's just amazing to me. If it ain't white, it ain't right. So, I don't know when it comes to style, when it comes to clothes, when it comes to how you look, how you dress, your size.
Paul Moody said it right, yo. Yo, the black man is the most copied human being on the planet. Everybody want to be a nigga, but don't nobody want to be a nigga.
Say that again.
For real.
I don't know. It's funny. You just sit back and observe shit that be going on, and you be like scratching your damn head when it comes to, you know, people views and how they see things and how society views things and what's beauty, what's not beauty. You know, the funny thing is, right now my hair is very natural. And at least 3 times out of the week, I'll keep it in a natural style. The one day that I may straighten my hair, get my hair done, oh my God, it looks so nice. You got your hair done. Oh my God. Oh my God. And I just straighten the shit. But that's the standard of beauty that white people have. But my natural state of my hair is not beautiful.
Well, no disrespect to none of our followers or listeners, but
fuck that.
Deep down inside, I'm Chuck. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't fuck with white people when it comes to their opinions about beauty and none of that shit. No. Because these motherfuckers will try to tell you that Michelle Obama looks like a monkey. Serena Williams looks too manly. And she can't, you know, be a woman, real woman. But they'll give a Woman of the Year award to a fucking man. Bruce Jenner, who turned kid. Get the fuck out of here. So you telling me these two beautiful women are not women or beautiful enough to be women, but you're going to give a Woman of the Year award to a man? Are you fucking sick? I don't fuck with white people and their opinions about fashion, beauty. Yeah, I said it. I'm Chuck. Who you talking to? Get the fuck out of here. No, I'm not off that. So I don't listen to a lot of shit white people say, but especially, look, you can't tell me that Bruce Jenner, who is now Caitlyn Jenner, is courageous and he or she is a beautiful woman. And who the fuck you talking to? But Michelle Obama looks like a monkey. Serena Williams is just too manly. Shut the fuck up. The fuck out of my face. No, I don't fuck with white people when it comes to their opinions. Yeah, I said it. I said it. Chuck. Follow me. The real King Chuck. All right?
No C. No C on the Chuck.
C-H-U-K. Fuck out of here.
That's real talk.
These motherfuckers kill me, man. No, so I don't fuck with their opinions. When it comes to beauty, fashion, nothing. Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner is the Woman of the Year. Think about that, America. Fuck out of here.
That is King Chuck, the realest motherfucker on this podcast. Listen, make sure you check us out on SoundCloud. Make sure you go leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. Listen, if you check out our podcast on a weekly basis, even if you tuned in once, make sure if you felt it, you digged it, you rock with us, you go to iTunes and leave us a review. All right? Hit me up on Twitter, @OurQueenTiffany, and follow the pod @_MidnightConvos. And hit me up on Facebook, Tiffany Nicole. It's a lot. You know, the night is going by. We are hour deep into it. And I think it's that time.
Really?
I think it's that time.
Already?
Are you ready?
Hey, I'm already.
Are you ready?
I told you I'm worldwide. Shit.
So without further ado, let's get into this week's King's Court.
and gentlemen, hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. All rise for the honorable me, motherfucker. Shit. The fuck? Now, on this episode of King's Court, I would like to take this opportunity and talk about stupid-ass people. Listen, we all know about the celebrities, the stupid, you know, the wannabe famous people that's stupid, you know, the leader of our country that's stupid, all that. But I want to talk about the people that's in my family that's stupid. Yo, I got somebody in my family that's so stupid. This bitch tried to tell me she's more closer to her roots than me. Yeah, I know she's from Trinidad or whatever. And this is somebody I look up to in a way. You know, I thought she was cool as hell. But come to find out, this bitch looks at me like I'm just some dirt. Or just we're not from the same sand that created us all. She gonna tell me she's closer to her roots, okay? Because I'm from Jersey and she's from Trinidad. So, by definition, she's closer to her roots. So I had to say, wait a minute, hold on. You from a country named Trinidad, nigga? That's a Spanish name. Which means, at some point, they were there. Now, your country goes on British currency. Which means, at some point, they too were there. Either way the case may be, we all come from Africa. And they kidnap people from whatever country in Africa and brought them to your island for slaves. Right. We were all on the same boat together. But you're closer to your roots. Meanwhile, I'm looking at her and I'm looking at her hair. Ah! But, you closer to your roots. Meanwhile, your hair explains how you got a little bit of everybody mixing your shit. I know your mother, I know your father, and neither one of their mommy or daddies are white or Indian or whatever the fuck you claiming to be. She's like a Tiger Woods. She looked black, but I'm gonna claim my Asian. Meanwhile, nothing about you says Asian. Not your name, not your face. Not your skin color, not the way you play golf, not the way you talk, not your endorsements, not the way you cheat on your wife. Nothing about you says anything other than what the fuck you're... But you know what? Never mind that. I'm getting beside myself. Listen, I just want to take this time and opportunity to thank all the stupid people out there because they make me smarter. See, that gives me a chance to say what the fuck I want to say, you know, and what I can say. For you all who wants to say exactly what I'm saying and you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking, but you just can't say it. That's why you need more people like me. Once again, I'm your boy. I'm your hero. I'm Chuck, the co-host of Midnight Combos. I love you all too, and I'm here for you. And I will see you again next week. Please tune in. Thank you, stupid people. Thank you. I'm out.
That is this week's King's Court. Brought to you by none other than King Chuck.
Chip, 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 chip.
Tonight was a good one.
It's so, well, they're always good.
They're always good. Listen, he said last week was the best episode.
I think so.
The best convo. So, let me know. Let us know what you think. Hit us at Facebook. Hit us on SoundCloud. Hit us on iTunes. Hit us on Twitter, social media. Let us know. Engage with us. Hit me up on my Gmail account, midnightconvos247@gmail.com. There are a few podcasts that want to do something together. We're definitely going to start doing that real
please.
Soon.
Yo, let us know. I can't wait.
So it's going down. So
I look forward to it.
Yes, he's excited. We're excited. So we're ready to go. It's a couple of you guys. Trust me, I'm going to reach out to you and we're going to set something now that I know my co-host is down. All right. So in the meantime, in between time, be good to yourself. This is just our convo.
Stay classy, people. Peace. Mm.